Hey, good morning there, Harbor. I think we got it fixed now. Thanks for joining us today. It's always good to see you. Hey, just a couple of things to announce before we get started. As Danielle mentioned, we traditionally do this Christmas Eve service at Harbor of Hope. But as she also mentioned, we're going to do it a little bit differently this year. So we've pre-recorded a short Christmas Eve experience with music and a message, and you can play it anytime that you want. Again, it can be on the 23rd, the 24th, or even the 25th if you prefer. Now, here's the one thing that I ask from each of you. We encourage you to have a candle and something to light it with would be helpful for our service, okay? We want you to be safe. Please don't anybody set anything on fire, but we've all been to candle lighting services before, so we hope that you will bring one again for this Christmas Eve service that we will send your way. We'll send out a link on the 23rd, so be on the lookout for that, okay? Well, we've got a lot to get to this morning as we talk about love, so let's jump in. Not that long ago, when we all used to board airplanes regularly, I liked looking at the SkyMall catalog, especially at this time of year. Now, if you're not familiar with the SkyMall catalog, it is the magazine that you know kind of rests behind the seat in front of you, down with all like the security measures. It is a magazine that sells cool, but also totally unnecessary stuff. And what I would do in my travels is I would either take a SkyMall catalog with me, or I would just make note of some of the most ridiculous stuff that they had as offerings in their catalog. And then I would poke fun of it in a message. And some people actually used to look forward to it when I, again, would share my favorite bad gifts of the year. Or at least I looked forward to it, even if nobody else did. So I thought we could do something similar today. It's been a long time since I've looked at a SkyMall catalog. But I have done my research, and here are some of the most notable bad gifts of the year. Okay. So here's the first one. Let's assume that wearing a fanny pack would ever be cool, which is debatable. Whenever in doubt, you should ask somebody between the ages of 15 and 25 if it's a good idea to wear a fanny pack. Okay. But has anybody seen the dad bod fanny pack? Here's a picture of it. That's a fanny pack. Very gross, okay? The description says it's like dad's actual beer belly, ideal present for father, husband, brother, and women too who want to get in on the action, okay? Seriously, why would anybody spend money on that? Well, here's the second one. The next one is called the runny nose shower gel dispenser. You put it in your shower, you press the nose, and shampoo comes right out of the nostril. Which this seems like maybe it would be that perfect gift for that hard to shop for 11 or 12 year old boy. Seriously, why spend money on something like that? But here's my favorite. This might be my favorite bad gift of all time. I ran across this a few years ago. You can still get it. It's called canned unicorn meat. The description says it's 14 ounces of tasty unicorn meat. Sparkly meat lends the unmistakable air of class and sophistication. Tastes like rotisserie chicken, but with a hint of marshmallow sweetness. And then it says in the description, okay, for real, you can't eat this. It's a dismembered stuffed unicorn in a can. Who would actually buy that? Actually, I'm surprised I haven't bought it yet and put it on my shelf, okay? Anyway, it's kind of ridiculous stuff that we buy at Christmas, isn't it? But it is a little fun to poke fun at, because whether we go to a white elephant party or a gag thing, we've just got somebody who that would make a great present for. There are a lot of things that we can buy at Christmas that even sometimes with the best of intentions, it distracts us from the real meaning of Christmas. A huge part of how we've challenged ourselves this Christmas was to spend less on ourselves and others and put that money towards something that really matters. And so last weekend, we had our generosity offering at Harbor. We do it once a year. And I'm proud to announce the total today. So over the course of 3 days, we raised, I feel like there should be a drum roll, but I can't hear it anyway, $5,630. How awesome is that. And so seriously, to anyone who gave, we want to say thank you to all of you. That means we get to bless Place of Promise and Food for the Hungry, our ministry partners. We get to love them and the people that they minister to this Christmas. And it's all because of you and your generosity. I am super proud of this community and the way that we responded. So it seems fitting today that we are lighting the Advent candle of love today, not only because we celebrate that generosity offering, but I think that's a big part of it that makes it feel so fitting for me. We have chosen to celebrate Christmas this year, to worship more, to spend less, and to give more. And we do have the opportunity to love all as a result, which is a way better gift. Just for a side note, that's a way better gift than candy unicorn meat anyway, right? All right, so let's jump in. Our scripture today is from Luke chapter 1, and it's about Mary, the mother of Jesus, the one that so many of us were taught to revere and some of us even to pray to. Starting in verse 26, here's what it says. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. It sometimes blows my mind that God could have brought Jesus to earth any way that he wanted to. But instead, he picks an unwed teenage mom to bear his only son. Why would God go to those lengths? Why would Jesus go through all of that? It's pretty simple. It's about love. I want you to do an exercise with me. Close your eyes with me just for a second. I want to challenge you to think of someone that you love, okay? And then when you have that person, you can open your eyes again. It doesn't have to be romantic. It could be a sibling. It could be a good friend. Just someone that you love. Now, I'm willing that once you have that person in mind, and now you can open your eyes, okay? I'm willing to bet that the reason that you love whoever came to mind for you is because that person has shown love to you, towards you, repeatedly. Like a parent that would get up early before school and fix you a hot breakfast, or a friend who knew how to encourage you when you were down, or a teacher who was tough on you but knew how to get the best from you. You love them because they showed love to you. And sadly, we also probably all have some people in our life, maybe a person or two in our past that we can think of who said that they loved us, but they didn't really act like it. They didn't really show it. Maybe they broke promises. They didn't have enough time for you when you needed them most, or they never had anything encouraging to say. I think that's one of the universal truths about love, and it's one of our take-homes today. For love to be love, love requires action. Love requires that you show it. And that's a big part of the reason why we chose Mary for the third Sunday of Advent. Not only has God shown his love to us, but Mary showed a love in the way that she responded. Probably a teenage mom that everyone would soon be gossiping about, When the angel delivers this news to her, though, she doesn't hesitate. She just says, I'm the Lord's servant. Her faith compels her to say, whatever you want to do with me, Lord, I'm up for that. And she continued to be that picture of love throughout her life. At Christmas, we use a particular theological term a lot. This word is incarnation. The incarnation describes God coming into our world, sending his son, Jesus. The incarnation is God's love on display. Because remember, if you love someone, you've got to show it. Soren Kierkegaard, the great Danish theologian, told a story to help people understand the significance of the incarnation. And in his story about a prince, this was a prince who wanted to find a maiden to be his queen. One day while in the local village, he passed through a poorer section of town, and out of his royal carriage, his eyes saw a beautiful peasant girl. And so day after day, he would actually return to this poor part of town to see this young lady, and soon he fell in love. But he had a problem. How would he seek her hand? He could order her to marry him, but even a prince wants his bride to marry him freely. He could impress her with his uniform and his title, maybe a royal parade or processional, but then he would never be certain if she loved him or was just simply impressed with all of the splendor of his royalty. And that's when the prince came up with another solution. He would give up his royal robe and he would move into the village, entering not with a crown, but as a peasant himself, living among the people. In time, the maiden grew to love him for who he was and because he had first loved her. This is the story of the incarnation. It's a very famous story, by the way, in fairy tales and other stories that we have, isn't it? God became like one of us and moved into the neighborhood. He revealed himself to us in a way that we could understand. The Apostle Paul writes about this in his letter to Philippi. So in Philippians chapter 2, it says this about Jesus. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Listen, if love requires that you show it, Jesus certainly did every bit of that. There's also a second takeaway about love from this Philippians passage that I want to point out. Love puts others' needs first. It says in that passage that he took the nature of a servant. What does a servant do? A servant takes care of others. They put the needs of another before their own needs, right? Whether they are forced to or whether it's their job to, still others come first. But the description of Jesus by Paul, Jesus wasn't forced. He willingly chose the likeness of a servant. When he came into our world, he put others' needs above his own. In humility, Jesus put his status, his standing aside, and made our salvation his highest priority. Love requires that you show it. Love requires putting others' needs first. And then here's the last truth about love that I think is important for us today, this fourth Sunday of Advent. So I'm going to read from 1 John 4, starting in verse 9. Another very famous passage of scripture. This might be familiar to you. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's leave this verse up for a second. In fact, we can maybe go back a slide or two, that part where it talks about God loving the world so much that he sent his son. And he didn't send his son just so we could worship and adore him more. The verse says that God showed how much he loves us. And then it says, This is real love, that God sent his son as a sacrifice for our sins. And that becomes the final truth about love that I want us to understand today. Love requires sacrifice. John says this is real love, which obviously means that there are some loves out there that aren't real at all. Each and every couple that my wife and I have had the privilege of doing premarital counseling for, we've tried to have some conversations around love and marriage and sometimes debunking the cultural understanding of the way that love works in marriage. Oftentimes we think that one enters into a marriage like a contract, like if you do your part, I'll do mine. I'll meet you in the middle. It's a 50-50 thing. But marriage doesn't function that way at all, or at least it shouldn't. Both parties make a promise to do what's best for the other person, despite what they get in return. Very different than the whole 50-50 thing, isn't it? You may ask, well then, how do we protect ourselves from being let down or taken advantage of? The answer is you can't when it comes to love. But what if I do all the sacrificing and it's not returned? To love is by very nature a risk and a potential loss. Check out these words from C.S. Lewis. He says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal or a pet. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, and irredeemable. You can't protect yourself fully when it comes to love. And at any point that you think that you can, you'll probably begin acting in ways that don't look like love. The truth is that sometimes we'll love and we'll get hurt on the other side. We'll love without getting anything in return. Let's look at that scripture one more time that we talked about, 1 John. Again, that phrase that says, not that we loved God, that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice. You see it there on the screen? Thank you. Doesn't God love us in a sacrificial way? And much of the time, it's not returned. And even if somehow some of us who would say that we love him and are committed to him try to return that, we can never reciprocate that on the same level of sacrifice that Jesus made towards us. Certainly Jesus knew that, but did that stop him from loving? No, he knew that despite the risk, despite the sacrifice, that love was worth it all. Ultimately, love is what we are to be known for as Christ followers. Love is not only why our church decides to do something like a Generosity Sunday in the first place, but it's why we look forward to doing something like a Generosity Sunday. Remember, we started with the question, how can we celebrate Christmas in a way that would be reflective of God's love? Remember that? When we take away the busyness and the spending, the debt of this holiday, all of the chaos, we wanted a holy day instead of just a holiday, a celebration that would somehow honor the best gift of all, the incarnation, God with us. So we're not content just to sing a few Christmas carols or light some candles. No, our response was to worship fully, to spend less, to give more, and to love all. And because love requires that you show it, because love requires we put others first, because love requires sacrifice, we want our Christmas to be reflected in our generosity offering, of course. But what we start in Advent doesn't stay in Advent. It's kind of like the Vegas slogan. This love that we celebrate at Advent is something that we strive to live throughout the year towards one another, towards our community, towards our world. It's not an obligation. It's an honor to love the way that Jesus did, right? To love all. And I'm so proud, if I haven't said it already, so proud of the way that this community has responded with love, not only in our generosity offering, but in the ways that I am continually seeing our community once again show love towards each other, towards our community, towards our world 365 days a year. Let's keep that up, Harbor of Hope. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, so we are just a few days away from Christmas Day, this holiday that is meant to commemorate the arrival of Jesus in our world. I pray, if we have not done so already, that we would prepare our hearts room for Jesus. And I pray, God, that this would well up in all of the things that we have talked about so far, hope and peace, joy, and certainly the love that we talked about today. And may the love that emanates from our lives, may it reflect the kind of love that you have for us. Give us the strength, God, when that strength and that power is not within each of us, whether it's a difficult person or a difficult situation. I pray that you would help us to love in every single opportunity that you give us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.